Hi, and welcome to Artists Alive. I'm Gustav 17 Elvström, and this is a podcast where I interview people in the entertainment industry so that you can be inspired and do your own thing. And with me today is 7000 Apart.
Hi!
Hello!
A year ago, almost, I was where we are right now in your lovely studio.
Yeah.
And we were talking about that you had just finished your new album.
Yeah.
Very day, and now it's getting released.
And now it's time for the proper, like, full release of everything on all the digital platforms. Yes.
Yeah. And before we get into that, I was just wondering if you could tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, of course. If you haven't heard about us before, my name is Amelie. I'm originally from Stockholm, Sweden. When I was 17, I decided to go to the U.S. as an exchange student. I ended up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where I met John.
Yeah, so we met in music theory class and we became really good friends over music, and we became more than friends. We started dating. Amelie went back to Sweden, and then we were forced into a long distance relationship for 3 years where we were 7,000 kilometers apart from each other.
Yeah, so that's where the band name comes from, 7,000 Apart. But then we finally got to be together. We moved to the US, lived there for a while, and now we're back living in Sweden, but we still tour a bunch in the US.
Sounds kind of like a fairy tale.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that's still going on. But yeah, so you have a new album. It's
yes.
The third one.
Third one.
What do we do?
Yep.
And quite a long title.
I know. It's kind of a mouthful. Why do we do what we do? And like, you can't really shorten it either because it's like WDWDWWD. Like, it's something like crazy long there too. We don't really have a nickname for it, so maybe if anyone like has a good nickname for it, please let us know.
Our current nickname is just kind of like what you did too. It's just a
Yeah. Can you tell me a bit about what the general theme of this project is?
Yeah, I mean, it is exactly what the title is. We were just kind of like in this point in our life when we were just really had to ask ourselves why we're doing what we're doing, and first of all, and then secondly, if we should keep doing what we're doing, you know? I think there's points in like an artist's lifespan where you kind of like have to question if you want to keep doing it. And long story short, throughout the album, we kind of realized we do want to keep doing this, and like, and we really love what we're doing, and this feels like the right direction. And so we wanted to ask the questions of that question of our fans as well. Like, why do they do what they do in life? Like, if they, do they enjoy what they're doing? Like, are their relationships good? You know, is their job good? Like, it's, I think, just a good thing to check in with yourself every once in a while and make sure that you're actually happy and content with what you're doing in your life.
We both, like, went back in time for some songs of the album, like, where we came from and what our relationship used to look like, to like, where are we at now and what do we want for the future. And yeah, it's just, again, good to check in with yourself and just ask yourself those questions once in a while, because it's easy that we just keep going, you know, in the same track, and it's hard to make those changes, but I think change is good.
Yeah And also, I think it's okay to question oneself and what it is that we do.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many times I've been like, why am I a journalist? Why do I do stand-up? Why do I do all of these things? And then there might be moments where, you know, one might feel like maybe this isn't for me, you know, because maybe one is going through something difficult in one's career at the moment. But I think it's important to just keep going, because you never know what you'll do if you, you know, if you'd give up.
You know?
Have you felt like that before?
I mean, I would say, like, we've definitely been at the point, for sure, of being, like, should we just quit doing music and just, like, I don't know, drive a forklift or do something that, like, would be more physical and more, you know, just work with people.
Straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Something where it's just you go to work and you do this, whatever you do, and go home and do whatever you do. But I think we just kind of, we realized that we enjoy the the chaos too.
Yeah.
Like, we enjoy being able to like figure things out and like have it not just be completely straightforward. It's more engaging for our brains, I think, and we enjoy that process of learning and failing and, you know, yeah, not having it just be easy.
Yeah, having every day be different. Yeah. Like, I love that part of this job.
If we circle back to the album, we've already released quite a few songs already.
Yeah, how all many? But one. Yeah. So we've released the 11 out of 12 tracks. We wanted to try something different with this album, which was like release one song a month. Mm-hmm. And so we released it on the 7th, obviously, because 7,000 apart. And it was just like a fun way for us to try that out and see if we could keep up with the pace. And like, then we could do like some new artwork for every month and like focus on one song at a time. And we also released it physically before we released it digitally. So we were done with the album, as you said, about a year ago. And then we printed vinyl and CDs and were able to sell the album for our big summer tour that we did. And so it became like this kind of exclusive thing for our fans, you know, that came mm-hmm. to shows. So they got all the songs before everyone else.
Oh, that's great. But about touring, mm-hmm. Being independent and doing your tours, what's that like, putting it together?
We have a lot of help now, mm-hmm. luckily. We do have a bunch of booking agents that book for us. And then because we've played so much, like we're up to like 700 plus gigs wow. right now. We obviously have played at a lot of places, so they also reach out to us. And so it kind of is its own machine. Of course, I'm always freaked out by this point, like a couple months before summer, being like, have we booked enough? Yeah. But it always works out, so I should calm down. But it's great. Like, yes, it's very physical. Like, we still bring all of our own sound and light equipment, and we have our own sound and light engineers. And it's like, it's a whole production. First weekend, we're exhausted. So we're like, whoa! And then after like a couple of weekends, we get into it again, and it just becomes our job in a way. But it's the best job.
It is very physical too. So it's like you have to be, you know, properly. You have to work out enough to be able to lift. It's like, I'm trying to think in kilos, but it's got to be like 800 pounds of equipment at least. Yeah. So probably
like 400 kilos that we have to like take out of the van and put on stage and then back in again.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a very demanding physical job as well as it is mm-hmm. mental and mm-hmm. emotional.
And just like jumping around on stage in heels yeah. for 3 or 4 hours every yeah. night is also like a lot. So we try to stay in shape the rest of the year. Yeah.
How do you manage doing that? Has anything gone wrong? Have you ever fallen onto the crowd? Or?
Oh, no, but I've fallen on my butt a few times. Yes, absolutely. Especially, you know, when you want to jump and do the last ending of a song, you know, when you jump up and land. Landing on heels is very tricky. So it has happened a few times where I like just fall.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
There's points of the summer too when, and of tour in general, where mm-hmm. you're just like physically, you try to lift something up and your body's just like, nope.
Not today.
Not today. You're like, okay, I need help. So, yeah.
But what it's was fun. It like doing gigs before you had booking agents and stuff, getting it was, into it?
Oh yeah, it was such a mess. Like, it was like, I mean, I'm very happy that we had to do that because we learned so much about how to do it. And also, like, how to know if the booking agents are doing a good job mm-hmm. and, like, how we want to present ourselves, too, I think. So, like, it's really good to not just... I think it was good for us to not just have agents from the start, but it was very hard. It took, like... I spent, I think, 4 months booking shows in 2019 for 2020. It was, like, 70 shows I booked, and then almost all of them got canceled. Mm. And so it was, like, 4 months of, like, pretty much every day working. Yeah, then they just got canceled, and at that point there was no like any sort of deposits or anything, so like it's just gone, you know. It's like mm-hmm. 4 months of work booking plus 4 months of shows that we just lost. So I think it kind of proved to me that it was worth it to work with other people, because you know they helped add like contracts and they helped make it more formal and more something that I'm less afraid of, like, because I didn't have to spend that time also booking the shows, and helped us focus on the music more,
yeah,
you know, and just creating art and like actually being able to focus on the people we work with and like becoming a band and like really, yeah, just focus on other things is good, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But when those shows were canceled in 2020, how did that make you feel?
Yeah, it was, I was so destroyed. Yeah. I was like, yeah, it was so bad.
And yeah, it was terrible for me too, because I love people and I love my job. I love performing, and just having all that taken away was really, really, really difficult.
But we were able to leverage it to actually get our first booking agent.
Yeah.
So we could prove to that agent that we had booked all those shows, and so they were willing to work with us because of that. So it had a happy ending.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, so far.
All good now.
Yeah.
Getting into the album again, mm-hmm. has anything been quite frustrating in this process?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's been challenging because we actually produced this album ourselves completely, except for one song.
Yeah.
But that meant that, I mean, this last song that we're releasing now, I think it had 21 versions.
Wow.
So
21.
Yeah. So it's the longest song we've ever released. It will be the longest song we've ever released. It's over 5 minutes long. And it just didn't work. And we knew exactly how we wanted it to sound. And it just like didn't work and didn't work and didn't work. And so, yeah, 21 revisions later, it's like, we're like, I think we're happy with it now.
Yeah. But it's also hard because you stop like trusting your ears after a while too. And sometimes it's really, really good to have like an outside perspective. But we really wanted to test ourselves and see if what happens if we just do this. We had a bunch of co-writers that helped us with the songs, but when it came to like the production of it, we mostly did that ourselves. And yeah, it was a new challenge, but we learned so much.
When you said the longest song, mm-hmm. I was thinking you were gonna pull like a Taylor Swift to make it 10 minutes.
No, it's just a little over 5 minutes.
I think it's like 7 minutes live.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we actually extended it for the live version, which maybe we'll record that someday. That'd be really fun. But but it's fun that like we worked with the Stagecoach Live about like making it into a live version, mm-hmm. and she actually made it 2 minutes longer because she's like she really liked it, and so it's really fun like having a song like that you're like, this actually deserves to be longer than a 2-minute, 3-minute song, you know.
It's only two chords as well, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It just goes back and forth, but you can't really tell.
Before we get into any more music questions, I sent you the topics for this interview before, and I just have to ask, Emily, are you mad at me? When I saw your email, I was like, have I done something to upset you?
Did I do something?
You ended the message writing Van Ligan, which means like thanks or regards. Oh. I just wonder if I'd upset you.
No, that's just how I write. Okay. Is that awful? I thought that was like I like that better than like med vänliga hälsningar, because I think that Van Ligan just feels like nice.
Yeah, okay. So I thought I'd done to you something.
No, okay. God, no. I'm so sorry if you took it that way. No, literally, like that's how I end my emails. Maybe I need a new email sign up.
Spill the tea. Why do you hate me, Emily?
No, I think it's because I'm a couple years younger, you know, and during COVID and stuff.
Yeah.
We are like people in their early to mid 20s. We're quite fixated on like email signatures and stuff. So I went on Threads yesterday actually for this episode.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask my readers what kind of signatures that they have.
Yeah.
I reached 5,700 people.
Nice.
So it's cool. And I was like asking, is there any male signature that you think is passive aggressive?
Yeah.
Majority of people said Van Ligan.
No, really? Oh my gosh, then I have to change it immediately. Because that's my like nightmare, is for someone to think that I'm mad at them, or for someone to think that I don't like them because I love people. So what should I have instead? Did they have any suggestions?
Van Ligan is fine. I think
no, obviously
people...
not.
No, it's fine in like if you don't know the... this is my opinion. Okay. This is only my opinion, so other people's opinion. But Van Ligan, to me, I would only use it to people I don't know. Mm. Or like if it's like a company and stuff. It's sort of like the English regards.
Yeah.
You know?
Kind of regards, yeah.
So that's it's what it is to me. So I was like, oh my goodness, have I done you something?
I'm just like, I just really want to be professional when it comes to email. Like, I wouldn't talk to you that way, like over Instagram.
No.
Then I have like a whole different tone. But because I'm so, I worked at an office for a year.
Yeah.
So I just got so trained on how to communicate over email. So like, if you want like like friendly Amelie, like more like casual Amelie, write me on Instagram. If you want like business Amelie, you write it in an email.
Yeah.
Because I'm so like, I'm just so trained. But I need to change that.
I get
that.
Uncomfortable over email, to be honest. Like,
I love emails.
I can still do it, but like I'm so much more formal as well. And like, it's also awkward. I've been producing other artists now. And, like, some of them, like, do that to me. They're, like, best regards or something. And, like...
Oh, I love best regards.
Yeah, but I just, like, want to send, like, a smiley face.
Then why do you hate Van Ligem?
Yeah. Let's move on. Back to the album. Let's circle back to it.
The new album, Warm Regards.
Should we rename it since the title's so long? It should just be called Van Ligem.
So there's one new song that is the new one. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a bit what it's called and what it's about?
Yeah, so that's the 5+ minute song. Mm-hmm. It's called Why Do We Do What We Do? So it's a title track, which makes sense, and it's the last track of the album. It's also a track that we like end our shows with. It's very much like the final track of a live show. It just works really well. And it's kind of like a tribute to artists. Like all kinds of artists, whether you're like a visual artist or you're a dancer or an actor or a painter. It's just about like how much we all kind of sacrifice to do what we do, and that it's not the easy path, but we have to do it, you know? There's just something in us that tells us that we have to do it, even if it hurts.
And this project was financed through Kickstarter, which is a platform where supporters can, you know, support their favorite creators. Was this the third project that was funded through it? How did you discover that this was a good idea of funding these projects?
I would say it's through we're just like, we're very much in the DIY musician life. Like, it's been that way for so long now, and so we've stumbled upon a guy who made a book called How to Make It in the New Music Business. And he had stuff in there about this like crowdfunding Kickstarter thing. And to us, it just seemed like a really good idea to, instead of try to get funding through a label and have to, you know, get in advance and then you have to pay it back. We wanted to actually just fund it through our fans, because that way it was more like a pre-sale of the album and it felt less corporate.
Yeah,
and like, that's also great.
Selling our souls.
Yeah, it's a great way to get the fans involved, and so they feel like they're on the journey with you, and that they're supporting someone directly to make something, which I think is really cool. And we've just been so lucky that we have the best fans, that we've been able to do it 3 times. Yeah, it takes a lot.
We'll see if we do it again, is what she means.
That is what I think. For now, this is our final crowdfunded album, but I might change. I said that about this second one, and I said it about the first one as well. So we'll see if we come back to the same method. Probably not for the next album. I think we need a little break from doing it that way.
Or if it would look very different. Like,
yeah,
than what
it would probably be more of a like a proper pre-sale than like a full-on Kickstarter or crowdfunding campaign. But we'll see.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
This new project has a bit of a rock sound to it, which is new, a bit, kind of.
I know, I mean, it's definitely, like, this kinda hard. We've never been this, like, gone this hard before. I think it's very much because we play so much live. Rock is what works live. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, every time, like, there's nothing that really gets you going the way that rock music does in a live setting, I feel like. And it just, like, works well with the big drums and, like, the proper bass and, like, you know? And so I think that influenced it quite a bit. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I mean, I think just genuinely our music has been influenced over the years by the type of places we've performed. And, like, it's slowly been that we've been performing at bigger and bigger venues. So, like, you know, this past summer we performed at like some bigger festivals. Like, one of them, like, I think, I mean, it's like 2,000 people there at different places we're playing, and like, it just works, like, to have big drums, big bass, like more of like an arena feeling.
Yeah, like, and a pop rock vibe more. Yeah. It's hard to play, you know, the really, really pretty ballads
exclusively
in front of like a festival crowd. And even though we still love ballads, we'll still write ballads. I think this album just like showcased everything from, like, we have one song called Mona Lisa that is just guitar and vocals to Cope that has like, I don't know, it's very loud.
Yeah.
It's very loud, very rock. And because again, we're not signed, we can do what we want. So we can have like a super, super acoustic thing, a super poppy thing, and then a super rocky thing if we want to. And I like it. It's fun.
Have you got any favorite songs from the project at this
of time? Of course. They're all our babies.
Yeah.
You know? I have a special place in my heart for Soul and Soma Scars. Mm. That one was the first song I think we wrote for this album. It kind of kickstarted it. And it's just so incredibly personal to me. And then also I love Terrified. Terrified is also one of my faves. Again, it kind of builds off of Soul and Soma. So Soul and Soma Scars is about finally feeling better after a long depression, or if you've struggled through something else and you're finally like starting to enjoy those little things again. And then Terrified is about being scared of losing that, being scared of losing the good things in your life and falling back into that tough place. And so they're kind of sister songs in a way. Mm. So those, and then I love Cope.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it's just so fun to sing, and it's so like, it goes so hard and the sample, and it's just like too cool.
Yeah, I think Cope was one of the most fun songs to make, just because like we found this 1950s?
50s or 60s,
sample.
I think, yeah.
There was like a medication called Cope and it was made for women. Specifically,
it's like a headache medication.
It was a headache
targeted
medication
for women.
Wow.
And the whole point was like, if you're a woman, you should deal with your problems by coping.
Yeah.
And like, I just thought that that was such like a interesting commentary on like just the world in general.
Yeah.
And like, it was really fun to chop it up and just make it into something that felt very artsy, but also like still pop and rock feeling. Yeah, and it's so fun to just pull that out at a festival.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a woman.
Yeah. I think I'm in a Facebook group that is called something like Unnecessarily Gendered Things.
That would be one.
Yeah. So I think I saw a couple of years ago an ad from like 15 years ago, you know, BIC, when those pens.
Oh, the pens, yeah. They made pens for women.
Yeah. I think Ellen DeGeneres went on stage at that time, and she's like, oh my God, where's this pen been all my life?
Yeah.
Now I can finally write, you know. Yeah.
So silly.
Yeah, it's really silly. When we Cope, yeah. I was like zoning out there for a second. Cope, when was that made?
I mean, everything was made between January and I would say like January through March of 2025.
Recorded. Mm-hmm.
Everything
yes.
was like fully recorded. Mm-hmm. I think it was written in 2024.
Yeah, I think so.
I was having a crash out, a religious drama crash out on the way to get my hair cut. And it was like raining super intensely, and I had like 10 minutes before I had to go get my haircut, and I wrote like 10 verses in these 10 minutes.
Wow.
Including the two verses that are there. And then like I wrote, and it was like raining, and I'm just like writing on my phone in the rain on the way to get my haircut, and it just like the verses all came out in that like 10-20 minutes, and then we worked with a co-writer and came up with a
chorus
and bridge, and then
I also helped him with the verses, like making sure I could actually sing them and making sure it all rhymed the way we wanted to. And it was like structured in a way. Yeah. And what did we figure out? The second verse has 175 words in it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's the most words we've ever put in a verse.
Wow. You should be a rapper.
No, I'm kidding.
That was quite a while ago, you know? So what's it like now when it's getting released, the album, you know? I mean, you put the songs out and stuff through the year, but it must still be a bit different, you know, seeing them in one project altogether.
Yeah. I'm really excited for people to hear the whole thing, you know, from start to finish. I feel like we don't enjoy albums in the same way. I was just listening to Ray's new album today, and it was just like, she really took me on a journey. And it's just so nice that I feel like albums are coming back a bit. Mm-hmm. I feel like people have the capacity to listen through a whole thing. And I'm hoping that our fans will, and that they'll tell us what their favorites are. That I'm mostly excited
and
for.
And what they hate.
And also that, but you know, because it helps us pick songs for set lists and such. And then, I mean, this album has been around us for a while, but it's still new to so many people, and I have to remember that. Because sometimes it feels like you're just talking about something forever and ever, and then you look back on socials and you're like, oh, I posted about that song 3 times. Oh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so there's, I know that I haven't reached everyone that I think want to hear it. So we're doing a little bit of a social media push now. But then we're also really excited for the next project. So we're also, at the same time, we're writing for the next thing. And we're really, really excited for that, too. So we're trying to be excited for both things.
I saw that Aurora Belay, one of the songs on the album, was on New Music Friday when it released.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, that was really exciting. Yeah. I think that was a big moment, especially for John, who does the majority of the production.
Yeah, I think just like... being like, I had listened so much to New Music Friday Sweden throughout the recording and mixing mastering process. And so I would like listen on the way to the studio, and just like, so it was kind of like a full circle moment that happened way faster than I would have expected, you know, to like have a song that I produced like already getting on there. Like that was kind of my, I was looking at that playlist and always being like, Swedish producers are like the best producers. Someday I wish I would be good enough to be on a playlist like that, you know, and for it to happen like that was crazy. So now I'm kind of like, well, I need to look at New Music Friday like US and like or like worldwide New Music Friday or whatever, like bigger. It's kind of fun like to be able to push yourself to be or like being like, oh, I'd love to get on Billboard and just start to listen to everything on Billboard and like allow yourself to dream and to grow and like succeed in ways that you didn't think you would, you know, I think is really, really cool.
Baby steps.
Just doing it like day by day, you know.
Before we're winding down on this interview, I just wanted to talk a bit about mental health, because that's something that you've been singing about and making music about. And obviously nothing can really, you know, replace real therapy, but do you ever feel that music can be therapeutic?
I mean, so much. I mean, that's genuinely why we do music, because music was our therapy, especially when we were younger, and especially during your teenage years when you're trying to figure out who you are and what you're going through. And I mean, I would scream Evanescence songs at the top of my lungs in my room, you know, as a teenager. And it really got me through a lot of things. And just hearing people put words to emotions is so incredibly powerful, and it's
validating.
It's so validating, and it helps you like figure out your own mind. I think it's such a good emotion release as well, like I mean, there's a reason we like to listen to sad songs when we're sad, because it just like helps get those emotions out.
And writing too, I think, like people being able to express themselves, I think, is such a also a great therapeutic mental health thing you can do for yourself, is like expressing yourself through writing or trying to write music or trying to write a book or whatever. Like just finding ways to express yourself is so important, and that can be through listening to music, writing music, whatever.
Singing, doing sports, even like dancing, like getting those, both like the physicality of it and also the artistry through it, and painting and drawing, whatever like helps you to process emotions is a good thing. And I think music is a huge part for so many people,
and way more important, I think, than so many of us realize. You know, like culture and art and just expressing yourself is so important to, like, I feel like society in general.
I feel the same about stand-up, you know, writing jokes about something that I go through, and then I can, then it feels better when I take it on stage and I can get a couple of hundred people to laugh.
Yeah,
that's great. And then I can sleep better at night. Then, you know, it's important not to like invalidate one's feelings or experiences, because that could be happening if you make a joke out of something.
Of course.
So it's about also, you know, find the right balance.
Yes. And how much you want to share about your own life with others.
Too.
You know, as creators in general, you're kind of expected to like put it all out there. And mm-hmm. But you got to realize like, okay, what can you write about? What are you willing to share about your life versus not? And having some boundaries, I think, is good.
Yeah. Have you got anything else to say about the album? This is something that I missed.
We're releasing it April 7th.
Which is tomorrow for you.
Yes.
It's such an album that really, I feel like, really put us on a pathway with producing ourselves and like being able to release music way faster.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that we really, really wanted. And I think like this is probably the scariest project, from my opinion, that we've ever worked on. Because it felt like the most honest, but also with the producing ourselves, like that was really, really hard. And I mean, it was like 9 months of my life every day for 14 hours a day. I didn't really take any days off through the whole process. And showing that we can do that, but also for other people that showing like you can do whatever you put your mind to as well. But
yeah,
I think it just got me really excited for the future.
Yeah.
Without any further ado, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to this episode of Artists Alive. I really appreciate it. And you can check 7,000 Parts' new album out. It's out tomorrow. And also, we're on social media as well. And I link all of those platforms as well. I was impersonated a couple of weeks ago.
No, actually, really? Someone pretended to be you and reach out.
And also via email.
Oh, no.
Trying to scam my fans for money. So I've only linked our official profiles in the description. So if you get a message from me or from 7,000 Apart or anybody else just pretending to be us or whatever, it's not from us.
No. Okay?
We'd never reach out first. So just so you know. So everything, the links in the description, they're safe there. You can just click there. Thank you so much. And
thank you so much. Thanks for having us again. It's always a great time talking with you.
Catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. John, say bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, nice. Cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think we should do something.